2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Father God, we pray today. God, though we're not going to go through this list today, God, I pray just from laying our eyes on it this morning, God, that self-evaluation would be happening in our lives. God, that we would look at our heart and we would see, God, is there any of this found in me? God, remove it far from me if there is. Because God, we are living in the times that Paul is speaking of to Timothy right now. And God, we are living just in a different time frame from what they were living in. But God, we pray today that God, that we would be lights in the midst of this darkness. God, that we would go shining brightly, that God, we would use every opportunity we have to speak truth to someone. And God, that we would just be different. So God, I pray you speak to us today. God, you would be glorified through us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, we're not going to cover all these, but over the next couple weeks, we will look at these verses. We will look at each one of these things. We will examine what it means. And back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I just want to read something to you real quick. In verses 1 through 3, it says this: "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believed and know the truth." And you can go on and on and on, but Paul has already been speaking about this thing. He's already addressed this, but he wants to go a little bit deeper. He wants to open Timothy's eyes a little bit more. Not that Timothy didn't understand what was going on around him. He wasn't blind. But Paul begins this chapter with this: "Know also." He had been giving Timothy the goods, and he had been helping him load up on how to deal with the issues in the church and how to handle those things that are unruly and those folks that are creeping in and all of those things. But he begins to lay this out here, right here for him as well. And what I want us to look at today, I want us to really focus on the last days. Okay? The last days. We talk about the last days. We say the last days. It's in our conversations. But do we really understand what that means? I want us as the church to think about some things as we go through this over the next couple weeks. I want us to, like I said, examine ourselves, because we need to. Quit looking at your neighbor. We need to quit looking at our neighbor. We need to look at ourselves first, okay? Then we can help our neighbors, right? We can't help our neighbors if we don't have victory ourselves. So first and foremost, look at ourselves. Quit looking at our neighbors. Quit comparing ourselves with one another. Look at our hearts just like God does. And here's what I want for each of us to do. We're living in the last days, church. You know the last days? You know when they began? At the moment of Christ's ascension, okay? They didn't just begin, "Oh my gosh, there was an earthquake. The last days must be starting." No, the last days began at the moment of Christ's ascension, when he ascended up into heaven, and now he sits at the right hand of God. The last days began, and they will continue until Jesus Christ returns the second time. Okay, so Paul was speaking of the same thing here that we're living in today. We're living in that time period of we're waiting, okay? We're waiting for Jesus Christ to return, and we've been warned over and over and over and over again that it's not going to just be lollipops and rainbows. It's going to be tough, okay? There's going to be crazy people. There's going to be crazy events. There's going to be things that happen and things that just we don't understand, and we just need to trust God. So we as members of the local New Testament church are living in the last days. You're like, absolutely, we understand that. We get that. But how many of us identify, and we're not going to get into it, like I said, but how many of us identify with verses 2 through 5? How many of us identify with some of the things that are going on in there? Hopefully none of us, but unfortunately, you know, many in the church today do. And though many may never admit it, here's the problem. There may be sin in the camp, okay? There may be sin in the camp. And we're living in the time where, you know what? Chaos is just a normal for us. each day becomes more chaotic. But you know what? The sin in the camp. So we have to self-examine ourselves. And it's not a coincidence that we're doing the Lord's Supper today and God has us here and has this on my heart. But if there's sin in the camp, though I may be clean or you may be clean, if I'm not or you're not, sin affects the whole camp. Okay, so man, it's important to understand that. And we've looked at it many times, but in Joshua chapter 7, I want to read something to you. Maybe some of you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. In Joshua chapter 7, we could read the whole entire chapter, but for the sake of time, we're not. I just want to read verses 10 through 26. And it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, and I'll get you the context after I'm done here. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore thou liest, thou thus upon thy face. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. For they have even taken of the assured thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemy, but turned their backs before the enemy, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. So there's some things going on, right? They had sinned against God. They had done what he had told them not to. And now they can't even fight. In verse 13, up, sanctify thy people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. And O Israel, thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel to their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Zerah, and he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now that what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. So he gave him a chance. He's like, this is like a parent going and saying, okay, I need you to admit what you've done, okay? And most kids are like, I did nothing. But here's what Achan says. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonian garments and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the son Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and in his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them out into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of this place was called the valley of Achor unto this day. I say all that to say this. God says all that to say this. He hates sin, right? God hates sin. He hates disobedience. Achan he knew what he had done. And if you back up and read the story, they were going and they destroying these cities and destroying these armies. And Achan's like, whoo, I can line my pockets with this. I can fill my tent up and retire. Okay, I can build my bank account up, and I don't care how I have to do it, and maybe no one will ever know. And he forgot that God's all-knowing, and that God knew everything. And many, many lives, besides his family and all of his livestock and everything, many lives were lost because of this, because there was no victory, because there was sin in the camp. And God doesn't want sin in the camp, in the church either. He wants us to be clean and holy. And when we live in these last days, when, man, there's so many things going on and the devil is trying to wreak havoc in the lives of the families and the body of Christ, which he has no power over, but yet he still tries and he still, unfortunately, is victorious in so many lives, man, and then sin creeps in. And we live in these last days and we're like, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. You know, even though Joshua came to Achan and said, hey, have you done this? And he said, yes, I have done this. He admitted it, like most children will not do, like most adults will not do. We deny, 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 deny. But he was caught red-handed. And he admitted it. But you know what? There was consequences for his sin. There was consequences. And though, you know, God may not strike us dead and we may not get stoned and burned alive, there's consequences for our sin. We need to confess it and repent. And it's not a coincidence, like I said, that we're taking the Lord's Supper today. So maybe if there's sin in the camp today, we need to deal with that right now. We should just amen, go to the Lord in prayer, get on our face, and get clean. These perilous times are here, church, and we're living out our last days, and we have to make a choice. We have a choice to make. This know also that in the last days, you have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. We can glorify God with our lives in so many ways. So many ways we can glorify God with our lives. Or we can say, I don't really want to do that, but my goodness, I want to glorify myself and I want to glorify my sin and I just want to do whatever I want. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2 says this. God, who at sundry times and diverse manner spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We see right here that we are identifying with being in the last days. And what should be fascinating is that the Lord desires to speak to us. What we need as a church is we need to be focused on the last days. What we need to be focused on is preaching. We need to be focused on being messengers. We need to be focused on speaking the truth because God wants his truth out there. He does. But sometimes we sit mute. We need to be proclaiming the word of God, but oftentimes we're consumed by the effects that come from living in these last days. Well, you don't understand how hard my life is. You don't understand what I'm going through. And no, I probably don't. And I'm not saying that what you're going through is not hard. But what are we doing to glorify God through that? 2 Timothy 4:3 says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Time has come, church. What is amazing about God's word is that it's not a made-up story, and this isn't just a bunch of fictional books put together. It's truth, and it's being lived out before our eyes, and for those that can deny it, they're just blind. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3:3 says this. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were in the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. These scoffers were present in this time, and they're still present today, walking around asking, where's God? You know, where's this God you speak of? I thought he was coming back. Where's this Jesus? They had waited for Christ's return a lot shorter of a time than we have. And yet they were walking around saying, where's your Jesus at? So why would we not expect the same question today? Why would we not? He goes on to say, for this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens, like I already read that in verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth were which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition unto ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. Ignorance is the key here. They have no idea what the Word of God says. And church, we should not be ignorant. Be not ignorant, right? We look at that ignorant word as you're putting me down. No, be learned, okay? Don't be unlearned. We need to know the scriptures. We need to know what's going on around us. We need to know what God is doing. And we need to understand that God's time is not like our time. It's not. We've been waiting for a couple thousand years for Jesus to come back. And God's like, it's been a couple days. Chill out. I have my timing perfect. We as believers, we better know what we're talking about. These last days are crucial to the mission, and Jesus left this earth and left us with a mission. You know, it's always attractive to say, I'm going on a missions trip, right? I'm going on a missions trip. I'm going to Oaxaca, Mexico to see Joe and Amy Hendricksman. I'm going to wherever. You know, when you were born again, you enlisted on a missions trip. You did. You signed up and said, God, I want to be on your mission trip. I want to do what you have for me to do. We have a crucial mission. Jesus left and said, this is the mission. This is what you need to accomplish in the last days before I return. And God's time, it is very short, right, as we see in verse 8. In our time frame, he's coming back in 2000. 3,000, 4,000 years. We have no idea. We have no idea. Could be tomorrow. Hallelujah. But we had better be about the business of the Father while we wait. In these last days that we're living in, what are we doing with our time? Because there's a lot of things that want to consume it. And if we're not careful, we will be consumed by that. You know, God's word is a great reminder, and I'm so thankful for that. We need to be reminded of things from time to time. I need reminded of things all the time. But if you turn to the book of Jude, there's a book in the Bible called Jude. Okay, some of you maybe have just skipped over it. It's a short book. I know. Like, why are we going to the book of Jude? Well, just hang on. It's right before Revelation, second to last book in the Bible. You know, the book of Jude, just for a little bit of context, was, you know, it was originally written to encourage, or to, it was like going to be written as a salvation message. That was what it was originally intended for, to his friends about salvation. And but that was changed when he realized that there was a need, that they needed to be contending for their faith, that they were in a battle, and he needed to encourage them to, man, just stand firm, and just hold on to the faith. In verse 3 of Jude, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So he's like, I had an objective, but God changed that objective, and now I want to encourage you. Because why? Because in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's like, you guys are in a battle. I was gonna preach the gospel to you. I was going to give you the salvation, but hey, you have salvation and you need to be contending for that. But I want to turn our attention to towards the end of the book. Verse 17, he goes on, he says, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you they should be mockers, there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. These believers were dealing with some issues in the church and in their lives But there had been some that had snuck in to wreak havoc in the body of Christ. Jude says, remember the words that were spoken by the apostles. Remember the word of God. Remember what is true. And the church, this is what we have to do. In any situation we find ourselves in, we must run it through God's word first. Oftentimes we run to a brother or sister, or we run to the internet, or we run to Google. Google, I'm dealing with this. How do I deal with this? And I wish it would say, open your Bible. But it doesn't. It gives you some stupid worldly advice, I guess. I've never Googled I'm going through a situation, but I'm just saying, don't do that. You know, we may not remember. Obviously, we're probably not going to. Some of us are super smart. I'm not. We may not remember everything that we read. And we may not even understand it completely. But you know what it does? It gives us ammunition for the Spirit to work with. Man, I have a problem. What do I do? Go to God's Word. Start reading God's Word. Give the Spirit some ammunition to work with. Allow God to direct you and show you. And they had been warned of these that would come and mock and walk after their own lust. And we've experienced this. Maybe even here at New Life, right? That creep in unaware. And the way that we deal with this is to hold fast to God's Word. To trust and believe it and to live it out no matter what anyone says or does. That's what we have to do. Remember the words. Remember the words, church. We're living in the last days, and we need nothing more than to remember God's word. Our text goes on in 2 Timothy to say, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous is a Greek word. It's kalopos or something, meaning difficult, that is dangerous or fierce, right? Not easy, not breezy, not whatever. This know also in the last days that, man, some super bad, fiercely difficult times are going to come. They're coming. The Bible is full of warnings of what is to come. We just happen to be living in the midst of many of them. So how do we handle them? We know that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but how do we handle that as well? Our text in Jude goes on. I should have told you to hold your place, and I should have held mine, but it goes on in verses 20 through 25. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and of others, saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. To the only wise God, our salvation, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. I want to look at these things real quick as we wrap up. Jude says you're going to have to contend for your faith, and these are some of the ways to do so. And you're going to need to build up yourself unto the most holy faith. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says this. Colossians 2, 7 says, rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We must be rooted. Roots come first, then the building can happen. Rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith. Jude tells the reader in Jude, he says, they are to be built upon the holy faith. And it takes faith to live each and every single day. Because, man, we have to have faith. There's days that we're going to seem like we don't have any faith or we have a little bit of faith. And that is why a close relationship with Christ is so crucial. We must be close to him so that we are not placing faith in something else. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God, tucked under his wing, being obedient to him, right? He wants us to be underneath his authority, underneath his protection. He is our protector. I often liken it to like a wayward chick, right? When they're born, they tuck up under, or a duck, they tuck up under their mama, right? She puts their wings around them to keep them warm, to protect them. She will sacrifice herself for them. And then what happens? When they scurry out on their own. Man, the coyotes just wait. Or we have foxes at our house, and they just want to devour something, right? They're just waiting for that chick to slip through the fence, and they're going to smack it. And they're waiting for us to say, I'm going to step out from underneath your authority, God. And he's waiting there to smack us. That's what he's waiting for to do. We have to keep ourselves in the love of God. We got to, man, just trust him and allow him to protect us. We have to have some compassion. What if we would do this more? What if we would have more compassion? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What if we poured out some compassion on somebody today? We have no idea what most people are going through, but we have a preconceived notion or preconceived thought that taint our ability to show compassion, right? Even with our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, because we associate Afghanistan with terrorists, right? There's brothers and sisters that are suffering persecution over there, but our minds are so tainted, we're like, they're all the Taliban. No, they're not. They're not. But we allow things to taint our mind. Our brothers and sisters that are wandering around on the streets in Clinton, Missouri, and we allow the circumstances that they're going through to taint our mind, and we're like, well, they have no hope. Move on. Instead of stopping and just loving on them. Maybe they're not brothers and sisters. Maybe they're lost, dying, and going to hell. We have no compassion. We're like, there's no way. What if we would be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave us? The compassion comes from God, and we can distribute it out to those that are around us. We should. We like to throw the hammer down, be rigid, and God has, you know, he's been working on me for several years about this, and all too often I don't show compassion when I should, but if I would, how would that change a person's life? It's contagious. Compassion is contagious. You show a little compassion to somebody else, you know what's going to happen? They're going to show a little compassion to somebody else. And then it's going to just be, man, obviously we need to be sharing the gospel with them, but man, we just need to love them. Then we need to pull them out of the fire. Psalm 96:3 says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. I would like to believe that everyone in this room, if we left today and there was a house on fire down the street, that we wouldn't just drive by it and be like, well, I sure hope somebody stops and helps those people. I would think that most of us would stop, either call 911, or maybe some of us are crazy enough to go running into the fire and to help pull people out of that. We as Christians have a message that we need to be giving to pull people out of the fire. We need to be reaching in and being a doer instead of walking by and saying, I hope somebody else does something about that. I hope somebody else speaks to this person. I hope somebody else can come along and just give them the word, because I'm busy. I have an agenda, and El Puerto is going to be busy if I stop and talk to this person. That's the mindset that the world has today as we live in these last days. And God he's given us such a mission and such a purpose to change what's going on in these last days and to just throw the word of God down and to reach down and pull people out of the fire, to get in their way as they're going to hell. We need to wake up. Myself included, and it's time for us to realize that the time that we are living in, these last days, these perilous times, what if it is days? What if it is days? What if we only have a few more days? Who needs to hear the gospel in your life? And I can guarantee if God said you have 3 days and that's it, we would be the most on fire Christians that could ever walk this planet, because we would be like, I don't care, right? I don't care what people think about me. We have 3 days and we need to get the message to the world. I'm spending all my money, I'm booking all the plane tickets I can. I'm traveling the world in 3 days and I'm going to spread the gospel. But we live in a time where we're like, well, you know, it could be like 20 years. And I don't feel like it today. Who needs to hear the gospel in your life? We have outreaches, right? We're going to have a huge barbecue outreach that Pastor Tom's going to talk about at the end of service today. And it's great. Guys, it is super awesome to invite people to come to a barbecue. It's super awesome to invite people to come to church. But if that's all we're doing, we're not doing what we were created to do. Because we were created to go and preach the gospel, to go and speak the truth. Well, I'll just get them to church and somebody else will preach the gospel to them. That's okay, but there's a time that you got to say, you know what? I'm going to preach the gospel. We're challenged today to start speaking it and quit thinking somebody else will do it. That's the problem with the mentality. And even this generation that we're raising up today is, well, somebody else will do it. I don't feel like doing it. What are we doing? As we live in these last days, in these perilous times that Paul said shall come, they're here. They were there. We're living in them today. What's going on in our lives? We need to think about that. And as we continue through this over the next, I would say, a couple weeks, we're going to look deeper and deeper into this. And we're going to examine this. And I want us to really think about that as we live physically in these last days and how we can be challenged to grow. Because getting out and doing things uncomfortable will stretch us and grow us, and it will grow us in the way that God wants us to do it. So let's pray.